from friends to inspirational truths. A time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and it's always good for me to say it's Inspirational Truth time. Once again, I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. If he isn't yours, oh, friend, he can be. He wants to be. He came to be. In fact, the Word of God tells us the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, friend, listen. You may have started the day in the lost category, but because of who Christ is and what Christ has done, you can end it in the saved category, and I pray, oh, how I pray that you will. I've opened my Bible to the book of Psalm. I've turned it to Psalm 90, and I'm going to read one verse of Scripture out of that great Psalm. I'll make mention of several as I do the message that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart this day. But I'll tell you, friend, listen, thinking about our eternity, thinking about our mortality, thinking about our life and our death, friend. You know what it ought to do? It ought to sober us. That's why a man by the name of Solomon, that's why he said in the book of Ecclesiastes that he said the strangest thing here, chapter 3, I believe it is. He said that it's better to go to the house of mourning than it is to the house of feast. And you say, why, preacher? Well, I'll tell you what. We're thinking more clearly about eternity and about our mortality at a funeral service than we are at a party. I guarantee you that. Well, before I preach the message, I believe the Lord has laid on my heart. Debbie's got a great song that she has written and ready to do. The title of it is Heaven Awaits. Now listen, it does for those, like she says, whose trust is in the Lord. But where's your trust? What is your eternity? What lies ahead for you? Enjoy the song. I'm sure you will. It's beautifully written, beautifully done by a beautiful lady. And, just let it minister to you and let it speak. To think about your
one day, my labor down here will be all. On Zion's ship I'll step aboard. Who's trying?
help but answering. You know what I'm going to ask. You know what I'm going to ask. What awaits you? What awaits you when this life is over? Look, if you know who you are. You know what you are. You know whether you've trusted Christ as your Savior. You know whether you've ever knelt at an altar somewhere with a broken spirit, broken and contrite heart, and repented of your sin and asked Christ into your life for Him to forgive you, for you to be born again, for you to forsake all your old life and to accept a new life to get in Christ Jesus. You know that. What awaits you? What awaits you? Hey, listen, friend, I'm an old country preacher. I make no apologies for that. I believe that, listen, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And everybody, now listen to me, everybody that dies are not going to heaven, but everybody that dies could. In light of what Jesus did at Calvary, I'm going to tell you something, friend. In light of what Jesus did at Calvary, there's no reason, friend, no reason in this world that any man, woman, boy, or girl should die lost. Listen, He made a plan of salvation that is inclusive. He said, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, that means everybody, by the way, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, I want to tell you something, friend. He made it inclusive. It's not an exclusive club. It's not for a chosen few. It's for the whosoever wills of this world. Now, I know we're living in a day when there's a rise of what is known as Calvinism, hyper-Calvinism, that teaches Christ, when He died at Calvary, He only gave or provided or supplied limited atonement. Hey, I'm going to tell you what it's limited to. It's limited to your faith. I believe with all of my heart, listen, just what John 3:16 says, just what I quoted, God so loved the world that whosoever believeth, that means me and you, friend. You say, what about the elect, preacher? I'll tell you what. John, where is it at? 6:37, 6:38 says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come unto me. That's the elect. And he that cometh to me, I shall in no wise cast out. That's, listen, friend, that's the free will. Hey, I'm going to tell you, listen, you call on Him. You repent of your sin and by faith receive Him and He'll save you. I'll guarantee you. Now look, let's face it. Before I read my text, some of us are closer to our eternity than anyone else that you know. I don't know who it is, friend. Look, now listen, I'm 68 at the making of this program. You may be 28, 38, 48, 58, somewhere in between all of those. And can I tell you, you may be closer to your eternity than I am to mine. And I'll try to illustrate that in the message as we look at it today. But oh, friend, listen, it's a sobering message that I have. There won't be a lot of shouting. I know that. This may not even fall in anybody's, well, top 10 of Tom's messages list. And that's right, if that ever exists in anyone's life, by the way. But I appreciate you tuning in. Listen to what the psalmist said. And this is a unique psalmist. Do you hear me? Psalms, 150 psalms written by, well, I forget how many different men. David is accounted for the most of them. But here is a man by the name of Moses, friend, who according to the superscription here, that it is a prayer of Moses, the man of God, in Psalm 90. Isn't that amazing? Not a chapter. It's a psalm, by the way, although probably because I said that, I'll refer to it as a chapter before the message is over, but I try to correct myself when I do. Listen to verse 12. When Moses, friend, Moses, this great man of life, no doubt in the latter part of his life, when he, in all likelihood, had seen more people die in his lifetime than anyone else that we could ever imagine, Moses gives, if you'll allow me to say it this way, some reflections on death and on life and how they compare, friend, to God and His eternality and our life's brevity. But listen to what he said. I'll get into that more as I go into the message. He said so. It's as if verses 1 through 11 brought Moses to a place to where he wanted to summarize something. He had said enough previous to this. And we'll look at some things that he said to where he says, now look, let's sum this up. Let's just realize what has been said. Let's take a review of this. He said so. He said, and it's a prayer to God. He said so, and I know the word isn't there. He's saying so, God, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom and all that come before this. And we'll look at it. We'll look at a few things in the 11 verses that precede this. Moses come to a conclusion. Moses looked to God and said, hey, in essence, God, I don't have what it takes. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the insight. I don't have the understanding. But I seek to you. I don't know. I don't know that Moses knew that James would write, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But I believe somewhere or another, that Spirit of God that dwelt in Moses, that Spirit of God that enabled Moses to commune with God, I know he knew. And Moses turned to God and in essence says, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. And wait just a minute, God, not just me, but look at the word that Moses used. He said, Lord, teach us. Hey, can I talk to you today just a little while about this thought? The facts of life. The facts of life. You say, what are the facts of life, preacher? Well, the facts of life that I'm going to look at in this message is simply this. The fact is that God is unchangeable. The fact is that man is frail and life is brief. The fact that we ought to apply our hearts to wisdom. Oh, friend, these are the facts of life through this message that God has laid on my life, on my mind and on my heart. And Moses said, God, teach us. Give us what we do not have. Give us what only we can have if it comes from you. And listen to what he said now. He said, so teach us to number our days. Isn't it amazing to look? I like celebrating birthdays. I don't have any problem eating cake, especially if it's white cake with white icing made out of Crisco and confectionery sugar. Oh, listen, friend, you say it's not good for you. I'm preaching, no, but it is sure good. I realize that. But oh, he said, listen, God, we number our years. And God said, number our days. You say, why, preacher? Because we don't know how many we have. I imagine, friend, without a shadow of a doubt, not just imagine, I know that I've done live more than I've got left to live. But oh, you know what I've learned some time ago? I want to invest them for eternity. I don't want to just use them, and I just don't want to waste them. But I want to invest them for the glory of God. And hey, can I tell you, when I do that, it'll be for my good. Isn't that amazing? Oh, how wonderful that it is. Now listen, friend, as we begin to think about the subject of this psalm and man in light of God in eternity, oh, we'll find how brief and frail man is. Men even that live to be 130, as did Jacob. But he said, oh, listen, the days of my life are evil and filled with vexation. And whereas it's Genesis 47, maybe he says that. Even Moses lived to be 120 years. Three different divisions in his life of 40 years, friend. And oh, what he saw. Listen, I'll tell you, his testimony is great. Joshua, 110 years. David, down to 70 as an average. Hey, listen, friend, it doesn't matter the number of days. Life is brief compared to eternity. And evidence of death surrounds us. Obituaries in every paper, whether their major or hometown, graveyards strew our hillsides and our country plateaus. And everywhere we go, every town, every city has graveyards and cemeteries. Listen, the grief that we feel, the tears that we shed, the broken hearts that we have. Listen, death is undeniable. It's evident. It is just simply everywhere. And death, friend, listen, oh, please. Listen, death is no respecter of persons. Can I tell you, multitudes of men and women, friend, boys and girls, young and old, regardless of their age, their sex, their success or lack thereof, regardless of whether they're well known or unknown, regardless of their age, whether they're young or old, do you know what? As a flood, the writer says here, they're carried away. Isn't that amazing? As the flood, oh, can I tell you, friend, listen, he says, said in verse 5, thou carriest them away as with a flood. Listen, death is no respecter. It's like a flood, friend, listen, that sweeps mankind away into eternity. I don't have time to read verses 3, 7, 11, but can I tell you what it does say? It uses the word anger. Moses uses the word anger as if God was angry with us every day. Now listen, sinner, He is angry with the sinner every day. But on this psalm, when He talks about anger in verse, look in verse 11, if you will. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Look in verse 7, we are consumed by thine anger. In verse 3, He said, thou turnest men to destruction and say, return, ye children of men. You know what God is saying here? You know what Moses is highlighting here? He's reminding us that death is a direct result of sin, of man's sin, of man's disobedience in the garden, and of God's righteous judgment against that sin. Oh, so many things could and maybe should be said today out of this psalm, but allow me to lift up just these three things. If you look at verses 1 and 2, listen, friend, we'll find the fact that God is unchangeable. That's what makes this psalm so real, the contrast between the unchangeableness of God, the eternality of God, as we compare it to the frailty of man. How long God has existed and will exist in comparison to the life. Now listen to this plainly, on planet Earth that we live, but all this life is only enough time to prepare us for eternity. Are you ready today? Are you ready to die? If you're not, can I tell you that you're not ready to live? Listen to what the psalmist said. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generation. Why, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. From the vanishing point to the vanishing point, God has always been. He's eternal. Now listen, I don't understand eternal, but I know it's a long time. And the contrast is here great. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be startling. And it is in many ways. And listen, in light of this, in light of the fact that that in this place, friend, we have to look at ourselves in light of eternity. God says through Moses, hey, why don't you think about it? Why don't you apply your heart to wisdom? Hey, listen, friend, I want you to know, I'm glad to know that God is there. I'm glad to know that in this world that's always changing and changing in ways and going in a direction that's not good for it or for us that are a part of it, I'm glad to know that the Word of God says in Malachi, we call it Malachi down the church, and I have the privilege of pastoring. I'm 3:6, I believe it is. I am the Lord God. I change not. Not only, and I've got to hurry. I wish I had more time, but I've got to hurry. Listen to what He said in verses 3 to 11. We'll find not only in verses 1 and 2 the fact that God is unchangeable, He's eternal, the fact that man is frail. But I'll tell you what, as we walk down through those verses, we especially as we compare ourselves to God, we just understand how brief light is. How brief life is, friend, regardless of its length, whether it's 130 years old like Jacob, whether it's 120 like Moses, 110 like Joshua, 70 like David, 969 years like Methuselah, whoever we could pick up. Life is frail, friend, and it's brief and compared to eternity. And the Bible sets forth many metaphors throughout the Scriptures, friend, that ought to catch our attention, that ought to confront us. us. That ought to trouble us about how brief and frail life is. Let me give you just a few. Well, a couple right here. We're like grass. We grow up in the morning. We flourish in the morning, but before the day's out, when the sun is so hot, we wither away. It's like a vapor. It's like smoke in a bottle. It's like a tale that is told right here. The writer tells us, read verses 3 through 11. You'll see what I've seen, friend. Hey, can I tell you? It's like a post that run with a message. It's like a dream in the night. It's like a weaver's shuttle. There's a step between me and death. David said to Jonathan, hey, listen, our life is like water spilled on a ground. When it's gone, it can't be gathered up again. I'm here to tell you, friend, these are the facts of life. So let me be the last one. Oh, I'd like to stay on the other two longer, but I just don't have that privilege. Not only, friend, is the fact that God is unchangeable, not only is there a fact that man is frail and his life is brief, listen, there is a fact that we ought to apply our heart to wisdom. Oh, friend, here's the most important part of the message, I believe. He said, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Hey, listen, today, the day of my making this program, I'm going to a service that I'm to conduct for a man that's younger than what I am. Listen, friend, I'll tell you, I'm familiar with funerals, both in the church, in a chapel, on a hillside, on a grave site, wherever it may be, friend, I'm all too familiar with it. And can I tell you what we ought to do? We ought to rightly invest the days God has given to us. We ought to invest them for eternity rather than just use them or waste them. Hey, can I tell you, we begin life. It's a mystery to me, life is. In many ways, you say, how, preacher? Well, we're born into this world with a certain number of days. And the Bible, I know, says we can shorten them or lengthen them. I understand that. But can I tell you, when we've used them, when we've spent them, when we've either invested or wasted them and they're gone, we can't call them back. We can't gather them up. We can't do anything with them again, but give an account of them one day in life. Can I tell you, life's not only a mystery, but it's a gift. And one day, friend, we give an account before our Creator with what we've done with our days. The psalmist, friend, the psalmist saw more men, like I told you earlier. No doubt in my mind, leave planet Earth for eternity than most of us. I'll tell you what, you know what he does? That man exhorts us. That man exhorts us. No doubt with the spirit of fervency, with the spirit, friend, listen, of encouragement to us to make the best out of life. He said that we ought to enjoy it. But can I tell you what? We ought to invest it for eternity. You say, how can a preacher? What's the greatest thing that I could do with my life? Well, we use this time to prepare for eternity. We listen, friend, how we're going to face God. Isn't it amazing how that one day the Creator, the creation, is going to face its creation? And listen, our Creator, and we're going to have to give an account of Him to what we've done with this life. Hey, listen, you know what we ought to do? We ought to do what Paul did. Over there in the book, one of the letters that Paul wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy, he said, listen, I know that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. My, what a poor rendition of a great verse. Listen to what Paul said, if I can find it very quickly. He said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul committed his soul unto a faithful Creator. Paul met his Savior on the road to Damascus one day, and under the weight of conviction of the Holy Spirit, under the weight of conviction of that message that he heard Stephen preach on the day that he died. Whoa, Paul, with the conviction convicting power of the Spirit in his heart. How when Jesus called him on that road to Damascus, he said, Lord, what would you have me to do for you? Can I tell you, friend, listen, you need to repent of your sin. You need to realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and recognize that Jesus is that Savior. He's not one among many, but friend, He's the only one. And if you'll go to Him like the psalmist said in 51:5, I believe, with a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, repenting of your sin, and by faith, the best you know how, receiving Him as your Savior, He'll save you. Go to Him today. Don't wait. Run to Him right now. Call on Him and ask Him to have mercy on your soul. Ask Him who is, was, and always shall be to save you in light of what Christ did at Calvary. Tell Him you believe that Jesus died and that He lived, and you'll trust Him and He'll will until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.